Wait, maybe I did.
An Old Testament minor prophet. Thank you, Juan. This will be the last message in the series of cautions, counsels, and consequences, lessons learned from the Old Testament. And today, I want to read from the book of Zephaniah. Some of you are probably saying, never heard of it. Yes, it is a book in the Bible. If you know where the book of Habakkuk is, it's right next door and right before the book of Haggai. Most of us know where the book of Micah is because we do read from that at Christmas. So if you can get to Micah, and then you'll pass Nahum, Habakkuk, and then the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah is a very short work. That is why it is called a minor prophet writing. It's not minor in the biblical sense, just minor in its work. But it is very important. The passage that I'm going to read is verses 14 through 20. It is all about Israel's restoration and the coming king to the kingdom. It will not only be the kingdom of Israel, but it will be a world kingdom. We're coming off of a week of revival meetings, and many of the messages were very challenging. I know they were to me. I think we all can come to the conclusion that living the Christian life in light of the world which we live is not easy. We are tempted on all sides, everywhere we go. I think it's harder today with the technology all around us, and obviously with that all the temptation that comes with it to live the Christian life. But we are challenged to do so. If you are like me, you wonder, when will it end? When is the Lord coming back to deliver us from the world, the flesh, and the devil that we talked about all week, last week? Don't become a scoffer. Remember that it was the Apostle Peter who said in 2 Peter 3:3-4, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. I'm here to tell you, hold on, our King coming. Hold on. He's coming. I'm going to give you some evidence of that. Long before I've ever said anything about it, Zephaniah wrote about it. And that's what I want to read to you. Sing, O daughter of Zion, or in other words, people of Zion, the people of Israel, sing, shout, Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why? The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thy enemy. The King of Israel, note this, he is the Lord, or even the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital G. That's a reference to Jehovah God. He is in the midst of thee. God is going to rule in the midst of Israel. And thou shalt not see evil anymore. Do we get an amen to that? No more evil? Wow. In that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time, I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth and gathereth her that are driven out. I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Father God, thank you for the promise of the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come and rule from the very throne of David the King in the great city, eternal city, Jerusalem. Father, we look forward to that day as your church, for we know we will come with you, and Israel will be exalted as great nation above all nations. Father, help us today to assimilate the truths that are taught here. Bless these good folks, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm hoping that this will be a message of encouragement, because the King is coming. Before this takes place, that is written for us in Zephaniah, the church will be taken. We call it the rapture of the saints. We will be taken out of the world. We will be prepared to come back with King Jesus. Now, the Jews did not understand that there would be an age of grace. They did see that there would be the coming of their Messiah to deliver them from their enemies. But they did not accept the fact that their Messiah came first as a lamb, as a sacrifice for the sin of humanity. They only saw him coming as a king to deliver them. We are the blessed ones, for we recognize he came first as the lamb, comes back as a lion. Amen. Hold on to your faith. Our King is coming. And the evidence is all around us. I know that the Bible predicts certain things that have to happen before the kingdom is established. But I remind you, nothing has to happen before the rapture of the church. Amen. That could happen as I speak. But be mindful, things are happening in the day which you and I live. We can go back to 1948 and even beyond that to the Balfour Declaration immediately after the First World War. The Balfour Declaration declared that this would be a homeland once again for the Jewish people. Finally, after the Second World War, the nations around the world got together and made good on the Balfour Declaration. In 1948, Israel raised its flag of independence and became a sovereign nation. That was prophesied in the Bible. And God said in the Bible, I will gather you from all nations of the world and bring you back to your homeland. And God has done that. And you say, yeah, but he hasn't come back yet. Well, things are still happening. On May 14, 2018, the United States Embassy opened in Jerusalem, declaring Jerusalem to the whole world as the capital of the nation Israel. God predicted that the city of Jerusalem would be its capital. And by the way, it'll be the capital of the world eventually. There are other things happening, and you just need to be reminded because it's on the news every day. China is becoming a noted political, economic, and military power, all prophesied in the Bible. In the book of Revelation, one of the greatest armies that will march through the Euphrates River will be an Asian army. The Bible talks about the great bear to the north, which we know as Russia, will rise again. A lot of people thought, oh, the Soviet Union collapsed. Russia's done. The Bible's wrong. The Bible is always right. And once again, we see under dictator Putin that the bear is raising its ugly head once again for world dominance. Again, prophesied in the Bible that Russia will amalgamate with nations to come against Israel. Turkey, you know, has been in the news, right? Turkey is becoming antagonistic to the West, and many fear that Turkey will align with Russia. If you're a Christian, you don't doubt that. You know that. That will happen. Turkey will align with Gog of Magog. Gog of Magog is Russia. All of these events align with end time biblical prophecy. The Jews are preparing to raise a third temple. They call it the third temple. You and I, who are students of the Bible, call it the tribulation temple, because we know it will be defiled by the Antichrist. There will be a great millennial temple, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will be in the very presence of the temple. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem is a well-known organization. It has, over the last three decades, done everything in their power to research and prepare for the third temple. And by the way, every year on the 9th of Av, Av is a month under the Jewish lunar calendar, Jews go to the Temple Mount and they hold the demonstration. They already have the cornerstone. They already have it. It's already hewed out to lay on Mount Moriah. But every year the Muslims rebel and they cannot lay the foundation stone for the third temple. That will be resolved. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who is an end time scholar on eschatology and on the temple, says that something is going to happen to where the Jews will be allowed to place that foundation stone where it belongs. And they will begin the building of the third temple. They have taken a huge leap already toward rebuilding. Major focus of this special institute is its efforts towards beginning the actual rebuilding of that temple. That is sacred to the religious worship of the Jewish people. Towards the end, the institute has begun to restore and construct the sacred vessels for the service that goes on in the temple. You can go to the book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers, and you can see these artifacts as was described by God to Moses and then to Aaron. They will once again be manufactured. In fact, many of them are already done. If you're very interested in this, just Google the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. They have released a modern three-dimensional architectural rendition of the future third temple. And you can see what it's going to look like. You can see some of the musical instruments already prepared, ready. A few weeks ago, we discussed here on the Wednesday night one of the important aspects of the opening ceremony of the third temple will be spreading the ashes of a red heifer. Well, it's been quite some time now. They've been breeding red heifers. They have to have a perfect one. And they do believe the day will come, maybe in the search at the Qumran caves, that they'll find the ashes of the red heifer. But I've read that if they don't, that the initial ashes of Moses will be sufficient as if they are prayed over for the dedication. So they are thinking seriously about this third temple. These vessels that I'm talking about, which God commanded Israel to create, they can be seen. They're on exhibit in Jerusalem's old city, in what's called the old city of Jerusalem's quarter. If you ever are visiting there, take the time to look. They are made exactly according to the specifications of the Bible and have been constructed from the original source material, such as when God said use gold, they use gold, copper, silver, wood, archaea, whatever God said that they were to use, they have manufactured these. All of these items are fit and ready for use in the service of the third temple. So hold on. Our King's come. It is written by the prophet Zephaniah in chapter 3 that Christ our King is coming again and that He will set up His kingdom. Folks, when that happens, a new world will come about. A day when there will be no illness, there will be no more disease, there will be no need for doctors, there will be no poverty, no famine. We're hearing almost every day about how nature is unleashed. Earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, which reminds me to pray for Hawaii. They're bracing themselves for Hurricane Lee. But the day's coming. There's not going to be any more hurricanes. Paul said that all of nature groans. Why? Because it's out of sorts. What does he mean by that? It's not the way God created it. If you go back to Genesis, God created a perfect world. We messed it up because of sin. But there's a new day coming. That wonderful day will become a reality, a time of peace, a time of joy, a time that the people of Israel have been praying about. You think we have problems here? Just go live in Israel. It's like living in an armed camp. They're reminded every day they have to fight for their sovereignty as a nation. And this passage that I read is encouraging to the Jewish people because it tells them there's a day coming that God himself in the person of the Messiah will put down all of their enemies. Verse 15, the Lord hath taken away thy judgments. No more will nations judge Israel like they are now. And by the way, because we stand for Israel, we too are judged, right? But the day is coming that the Lord will take away those judgments. He hath cast out thy enemy, the King of Israel. And note, it's saying the King of Israel will be the Lord himself. Again, prophecy fulfilled. When the Lord Jesus himself said he'll sit on the throne of David in the midst of thee, and thou shalt not see evil any more. Seems like Israel can't do anything without being attacked. They're attacked by the Palestinians. They're attacked by the Syrians. They're attacked by the Iranians. They're attacked by ISIS. They're attacked by everybody. The only people that have not attacked them lately is Egypt. And they attacked them for centuries. Can you imagine how tiring that is for these people? The day is coming that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will put down all opposition. And you and I, who are born again Christians, will come with the King of Kings, according to Revelation. And you will be given an assignment as an administrator in the millennial kingdom. Because that's what it will be known as. A literal 1,000 year reign of King Jesus ruling on planet Earth. It will be an earthly political kingdom of Christ. Will he himself restore the nation of Israel? He will restore their temple worship. Obviously, he will correct it. There will be no need of sacrifice. And he will be there to be worshipped. And their holy city will be exonerated throughout the world. His appearance will be visible. We talk about the Lord Jesus being right here with us. And he is. Where two or three are gathered, we are promised he is in the very midst of us. But you know, he will be here physically, not just spiritually. Matthew 24, verse 27, Jesus declared it. He said, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Like, no one's going to miss it. He shall return in all of his glory. And he will do exactly what Zephaniah prophesied. He will restore Israel. He will restore the temple. And he will declare his rightful place as King of Kings. His first task will be to separate the righteous from the wicked. You must remember, the return of Christ comes immediately after the battle of Armageddon. When there is no hope for Israel, when all the nations of the world have gathered to destroy God's people, the Jews, he will come with you and I, his church. The Bible says that he'll be riding on a white horse and all of the host of heaven with him. Now, we don't come with bombs, missiles, machine guns. We don't need any of that. In fact, the Bible says when he talks, it's like a sword. He'll just come and speak the word. We will just come to be his administrators. There really isn't going to be a battle. He's just going to put them down. The subjects of this judgment are those who survive the tribulation, be believers or unbelievers. The Bible pronounces in Revelation, the 19th chapter, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations. He doesn't need guns. I mean, it doesn't matter what they're going to fire at him. They will be ineffective. He will rule with a rod of iron. The glory of God that once left many, many, many years ago will return in physical manifestation. Ezekiel, the Old Testament prophet, penned back in chapter 11, a number of chapters, concerning the Shekinah glory, meaning the divine presence of the Holy God living with His people. What am I talking about? Those of you who are students of the Word know that there was a pillar of the cloud by day that guided the people of Israel, and a pillar of fire by night. It was a manifestation of God's glory. What a wonderful thing. And yet the Jews disobeyed. Now, we get down on them, but we're saved, and the very presence of God lives what? In all of us. And yet, we violate God's word too, right? So be careful about judging them too much. The Bible tells us the pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It went upward, from the Temple Mount. This is how it exited the world. And you can read this in the Bible. And it went down the Kinron Valley, up the Mount of Olives. And that was the end of it. Now I want you to go to Acts chapter 1 with me. Keep your finger in Zephaniah. I want you to go to Acts. And are you there? Acts chapter 1, and I want you to read with me verse 8. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. This is called the ascension of Christ. Watch. He says, "You shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the world," or the earth. Now watch. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Where was Jesus? He was on the Mount of Olives. That's where he was. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.' Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called" — what? — "Olivet," which is from Jerusalem, the Sabbath's day journey. I want you to go to Zechariah, not Zephaniah, Zechariah chapter 14. Now he's coming again. And Zechariah chapter 14 says, when he returns, verse 4, "His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of" — what? — "Olives," which is before Jerusalem, on the east. "And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come. What's the rest of that say? And all the saints with thee. That's you. That's you. Say, I'm a saint? Yes. If you're born again, sanctified unto the Lord, it means you're a saint. And you're coming to the Mount of Olives with the Lord Jesus to establish His kingdom. So He shall return and He will establish His church as administrators over the earth. Zechariah seems to indicate that at least three changes will take place when the Messiah returns to the earth at His second advent. The Mount of Olives will be split open from the east to the west. Second, living waters will flow toward both the Mediterranean and the Dead Sea. And for this to occur, Jerusalem will have to be lifted up. Third, not only will Jerusalem be raised up as a high mountain, but it will be greatly enlarged as well. All of this is recorded in the Bible, and all of this is yet to come. Ezekiel 45 and verse 1 states that the holy portion of the land will be immense, measuring 25,000 by 25,000 reeds. That is an area of 50 by 50 miles, 2,500 square miles. All the world today is looking to destroy Israel and Jerusalem, but God is going to elevate it high above the earth. Why? Because God declared it to be the eternal city. And God declared that His Son, who died for the sins of the whole world, would come there to rule the world. Again, I say, hold on. The King is coming. Jesus came, and I'm almost done. Jesus came at first as that passive lamb, as I mentioned, to be slain for our sin. He died for you, that you could be a saint of God. Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Have you acknowledged before God that you are a sinner? That's what you need to do if you've never done that. You need to say, God, I'm a sinner. I recognize it. I humble myself. I ask you to save me, a sinner. And thank you that Jesus died vicariously on the cross in my place and then rose again, proving He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He will come one day and receive us unto Himself. But it's not over. We're coming back. We have 1,000 years to reign with Christ. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. In these times of distress, when you're put to the greatest test, you must let Scripture guide you and comfort you. Father, I pray for these good folks because it is getting harder and harder to live the Christian life in the world which we live. But you have reminded us today to hold on because you're coming and we're going to come with you. And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Bless these folks, Father. Give them the tenacity to hold on. Give them the tenacity to continue in their witness and their testimony, knowing that Jesus Christ, our righteous King, is coming again. And we praise you in His name. Amen. Let's take our songbook and go to 275. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. It's not easy, but He lives and He's coming again. 275.